This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Agreement on tax reform. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, December 14. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
House and Senate Republicans have reportedly united behind a single bill that would rewrite the country's tax laws. Here are the compromises on the highest individual tax rate and the corporate tax rate.
Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore is refusing to concede the race to Democrat Doug Jones.
A lawmaker in Kentucky has apparently committed suicide after being accused of sexual abuse by a teenager.
And how the GOP tax plan could affect your millions if you win a lottery like Powerball.
The big thing that consumers would want to think about is if you live in a state where there is some sort of an income tax, especially a high-levy state like New York or New Jersey, for example, or California, right now you have the ability to deduct state and local taxes paid. That deduction would be going away under pretty much any version of tax reform that looks like it's going to be passed.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on how big lottery winners might be impacted by the proposed new tax laws. She's here in about 20 minutes. House and Senate Republicans have reached agreement on how to combine their competing tax bills. Full details of what is likely to be a $1.4 trillion tax cut over a decade will be released this week. If the House and Senate both pass the measure in votes that could come next week, President Trump could sign it into law before Christmas. The Wall Street Journal says the agreement would set the top individual tax rate at 37%, lower than the top rate in each of the bills that passed both chambers.
The typical family of four earning $75,000 will see an income tax cut of more than $2,000, slashing their tax bill in half.
Numbers from President Trump. You'll hear from Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer next hour. Meanwhile, Republicans said they were considering that change to address concerns from high-earning residents in high-tax states like California, New York, and New Jersey who would take a hit because they would lose the ability to fully deduct state and local taxes. Also, the corporate rate would be 21%, and the corporate alternative minimum tax would be eliminated. Embattled Republican Roy Moore is still refusing to concede the Alabama Senate race. Democrat Doug Jones claimed an upset victory in the special election Tuesday night by a narrow margin. Mr. Moore released a video last night saying the battle goes on and vowing every ballot should be counted. He wants certification by the Secretary of State regarding military and provisional ballots. Mr. Moore denies allegations of sexual misconduct when he was in his 30s, and in some cases the women were in their teens.
Immorality sweeps over our land. Even our political process has been affected with baseless and false allegations, which have become more relevant than the true issues which affect our country.
Alabama's Secretary of State John Merrill said yesterday that an automatic recount is, quote, highly unlikely. Mr. Merrill believes the margin of victory by Mr. Jones will not dip below half a percentage point, which would trigger an automatic recount. Meanwhile, Mr. Jones says he'll leave it up to Mr. Moore to choose to concede. The Doug Jones special election victory over Roy Moore marks the first time Alabama has elected a Democrat to the Senate in 25 years. So just who is Mr. Jones? Here's a primer on the newly elected Democratic senator from Brian Lyman, state government reporter at the Montgomery Advertiser in Alabama. Brian, tell us more.
Jones is a product of Fairfield, Alabama, which was a steel town like many places around the Birmingham area were in the 50s. Came from basically middle class background, and really, you know, like you talk to his classmates, you know, they just talk about him being a leader, you know, at the time. You know, like, for instance, in the late 60s and early 70s, Fairfield was going through some pretty heated segregation battles, and I spoke with one of his classmates who was one of the first black students to attend Fairfield High School, and he said at the time he was, like, a guy who wanted to get out in front of, like, you know, like, in front of this stuff and, like, just try and, I guess, bring people together and try not to, you know, dwell so much on the things that, unfortunately, Alabama often dwells on far too much. Just took that to law school and then a career as a criminal defense attorney and a prosecutor. You can basically describe him, as a guy who's really, like, just trying to build consensus, you know, throughout his lifetime.
He was involved in some notable cases as an attorney, right? Can you kind of give us the thumbnail on a couple of those?
Sure. I think the biggest one he did was as U.S. attorney in Birmingham back in the late 90s, he prosecuted two of the 16th Street church bombers. That was the 1963 bombing that killed four little girls. He basically, like, working with local law enforcement and the FBI and, you know, obviously folks, you know, like folks within the community, just dusted off decades-old evidence, you know, got some breaks, you know, like some FBI surveillance tapes surfaced that proved incredibly helpful. And he managed to convict two of these men, close to 40 years after these bombings took place. I think that's probably his most high-profile one. But he also put together a case against the bomber Eric Rudolph as well. He was on the scene when, it turned out later, Rudolph bombed an abortion clinic in Birmingham in 1998. You can read in there, you know, he talks about, like, seeing the body of a Birmingham police officer who was killed in that explosion. And, thanks to, you know, like, his work and, like, you know, actually, like, a couple of people who actually even trailed Rudolph after he left the clinic, he was able to secure an indictment, not a conviction, because Rudolph went off the grid, but eventually, like, Rudolph was convicted and sent to prison.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Brian Lyman, state government reporter for the Montgomery Advertiser. We're looking at his profile of Senator-elect Doug Jones. In a handful of the comments in your story, or quotes rather, he seems fairly self-deprecating.
Oh yeah. He's definitely got he's definitely got that kind of sense of humor. The first interview we did in we talked to him for the first time in June, and yeah, he had some great stories about working with former Alabama Senator Howell Heflin, who was the last Democrat to represent Alabama in the U.S. Senate. He's very low key, and you know, you speak with folks who know him, and like not they all just they just speak his praises to the rafters, and like I think he really has a magnetic personality for a lot of folks.
Are there issues he appears more passionate about than others?
Healthcare was definitely the one he stressed the most. Talked a lot about, for instance, funding the Children's Health Insurance Program, which covers over roughly about 150,000 children in the state. He said, you know, he supports the Affordable Care Act that covers like close to 178,000 people in the state, though he wanted to see some improvements to it. Even talked about the possibility of a public option for Medicare. He said it was something he could probably support. I would say that was probably his number one issue in this election.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Lyman, state government reporter at the Montgomery Advertiser in Alabama. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday. A Kentucky lawmaker appears to have committed suicide just 2 days after allegations that he had sexually abused a teenage girl at the church where he was a pastor. The Bullitt County coroner said State Senator Dan Johnson was found with a single gunshot wound at the head outside his car in the city of Mount Washington, just south of Louisville. Mr. Johnson was accused by a woman of molesting her when she was 17 in the basement of his home after a New Year's party in 2012, according to a wide-ranging report published Monday by the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting. At a press conference the next day, he said he would not step down.
Every person in this place, I know there's not one that's perfect, nobody, but if, and there's been a lot of media people that have been being brought down over accusations. I'm aware of that, and I know you are.
The accusations against Mr. Johnson were revealed as a sexual harassment scandal involving four other Republican lawmakers was unfolding at the state capitol. It's 20 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Put in generous tax cuts for corporations and the wealthiest Americans would be delivered in a sweeping overhaul of the tax laws under a new agreement crafted by Republicans in Congress. Middle and low-income families would receive smaller tax cuts, though President Trump and Republican leaders tout the package as a huge benefit for the middle class.
We want to give you, the American people, a giant tax cut for Christmas. And when I say giant, I mean giant.
The agreement reached yesterday by House and Senate GOP leaders also calls for scrapping a major tax requirement of the Obamacare health law, a step toward the ultimate GOP goal of unraveling the law. Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore is still refusing to concede the race to Democrat Doug Jones. He released a video last night saying the battle rages on, while also commenting on a host of other topics.
Abortion, sodomy, and materialism have taken the place of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Meanwhile, Alabama's Secretary of State stood by comments he made election night, saying an automatic recount is highly unlikely. House Republicans ratcheted up criticism of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe into Russian meddling, questioning whether there was bias on his team of lawyers. The criticism directed toward Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein at a House Judiciary Committee hearing yesterday comes after the release of anti-Trump text messages exchanged between two FBI officials later assigned to the Russia probe. Rosenstein defended Mueller.
I think it would be very difficult, Congressman, for anybody to find somebody better qualified for this job. Director Mueller has, throughout his lifetime, been a dedicated and respected and heroic public servant.
Republicans stopped short of calling for Mueller's firing or resignation. Wait to hear this. Researchers have found a shark in the North Atlantic that could be over 500 years old, making it the oldest living vertebrate in the world. Marine biologists say the 18-foot Greenland shark they have been studying is at least 272 years old and possibly as old as 512. They were able to determine its age by analyzing its cornea and size. The shark's potential age was revealed in a study in the journal Science.
Imagine the things the shark has seen in its lifetime.
I hope it didn't kill anybody.
Wow. Right. It's 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Jackpots for the Powerball and Mega Millions are inching upward, and experts say a big lottery win would be even sweeter this year ahead of proposed tax reforms. How would the Republican tax impact plan impact those, rather, picking up tens of millions in a lottery? Here's Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's also a certified financial planner. Kelly, what have you found?
Well, we're starting to see, you know, something we write about repeatedly, some of these really big jackpots that are popping up in the multi-state lotteries, Powerball and Mega Millions, and they are inching up again now, although they're not yet at record levels. And if you are in the lucky, you know, end of this where you end up winning a large prize, you could see some big tax differences in future years compared to if you managed to win before the end of 2017.
All right, so how so? Give us a potential comparison.
Well, you know, first thing you want to look at is, you know, what are the actual tax rates? And that's something that's still up in the air. Some of the House proposals that have been out there would kind of keep that top tax rate close to that 39.6. With the Senate, they would maybe reduce that slightly. But the big thing that consumers would want to think about is if you live in a state where there is some sort of an income tax, especially a high-levy state like New York or New Jersey, for example, or California, right now you have the ability to deduct state and local taxes paid. That deduction would be going away under pretty much any version of tax reform that looks like it's going to be passed, and that's an extra couple million that would be coming out of your take-home as a lottery winner.
Yikes. I'd still like to have that problem, just for the record. We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's also a certified financial planner. She's written a piece entitled How the GOP Tax Plan Could Affect a Powerball or Mega Millions Win. So under any scenario, is it best to win in 2017 or not necessarily?
Well, you know, it really depends a lot on your particular state and how you'd be claiming the prize. If you're lucky enough to be in a state that doesn't have an income tax or that doesn't tax lottery prizes, and there are a few of those, then this may be, you know, it doesn't really matter to you much one way or another. You know, the big long-term benefit that we hear from folks for a lottery winner would be, you know, these House and Senate provisions that would either reduce or eliminate the estate tax, because that's obviously something that, you know, you're winning, walking away with close to $100 million. That's something you probably have to think about at some point.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about this as you were mentioning taxes before, income taxes. It could make sense. I guess you try to game the system. I don't know if this would work, but let's say you win the lottery in a high-tax state like New Jersey. Do you then purchase some property in Florida, claim residency there, and then 6 months later claim your
winnings? Sadly, too late for that. You know, and that was something I walked through with one of the attorneys that we spoke to for this. You know, and he says he does see people that occasionally will try to pull that, but, you know, it's all about where you bought the ticket. You know, okay, we've talked about big jackpots before. You know, we focus on a lot of these areas where people might live in one state and work in another, and you have to be aware that both states want a piece of that pie for where they where you live and you've got that income and where the ticket was sold.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The holidays are here. Why not wow friends and family with a new type of gift, a package from Omaha Steaks? My wife loves the filet mignons. I'm a fan of the sausages. My kids prefer the burgers. Those meats are just part of what's in the family gift pack. To get it, visit omahasteaks.com and enter my code Gordon in the search bar for 75% off. Here's what you get in the family gift pack for less than $50. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, and an Omaha Steaks seasoning packet. Plus, for free right now, 4 additional kielbasa sausages. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code Gordon in the search bar, and get a 75% savings. The gift is guaranteed to be a hit. Again, omahasteaks.com, enter my code Gordon in the search bar.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, December 14. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Compromise reached on the tax reform bill. Roy Moore refuses to concede the Alabama Senate race. FCC votes on net neutrality rules today. The Fed is raising interest rates a quarter point, so up go credit card rates and home equity lines. Today's the five-year anniversary of the Sandy Hook school shooting in Connecticut. Disney is closer to acquiring film and TV studios from 20th Century Fox. The baseball winter meetings wrap up today. And the singing janitor spreading joy at an Ohio elementary school. That story in about 20 minutes. Raging wildfires in Southern California could push the amount of insured losses this year from natural disasters to a record. Insurers and reinsurers are already on track for one of the largest ever industry-wide losses from natural catastrophes. It's a story from Wall Street Journal reporter Nicole Friedman. Nicole, set this up.
Yeah, so insurers have had a long, tough year full of natural disasters. We saw 3 major hurricanes back-to-back, Harvey and then Irma and then Maria, and right around the same time, 2 earthquakes in Mexico, and now we're looking at the second major wildfire event in California. We had wildfires in Northern California in October, and now there are fires kind of currently raging in Southern California, and so that's all adding up to enormous losses for the insurance industry.
Wow. So as the insurance industry begins to assess all this, we're seeing records by state, records by nation, by disaster? Like, what are they saying?
Absolutely. So globally, they think this could be a record for total industry-wide losses from natural disasters. So the estimates are still coming in. The fires in Southern California aren't even contained yet, and so we don't have final numbers. But the early estimates for just the 3 major hurricanes and 2 earthquakes that happened in the fall range anywhere from $66 billion to $111 billion in insured losses. They're obviously higher than that economically. economic losses because not everything is covered by insurance. And then when you add on top the two wildfires and then also winter storms, other kind of ordinary catastrophes that have happened throughout the year, there are estimates that the total losses for the industry from disasters could be as high as $130 billion.
My goodness. And we're talking about homes, businesses, other property, things like that, right?
Exactly. So a lot of residential property, particularly in the United States, the Caribbean, but also business property and autos as well. We saw during the major flooding during Hurricane Harvey, a great number of autos flooded and were destroyed. And then there also could be some business insurance, some liability insurance, particularly if the wildfires are found to have been caused at all by any utility equipment, then there could be liability insurance that comes into play defending the utility against lawsuits.
Wow. If the utility is to blame, right, how would that work? Like, in what situation?
Right. So the fires are still under investigation, both the October wildfires and then this current round of fires that is still burning will have to be investigated. And so the causes are not yet known, but if it's found that any company is at fault, then that company might be held liable.
Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Nicole Friedman. Her piece is called "With California Wildfires, Insurers' Losses Keep Spiraling Higher." Did I read correctly that in some cases, insurance companies hire private firefighters to protect like really valuable properties like mansions and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen that in California, particularly these current wildfires are affecting some wealthy neighborhoods that have a lot of high net worth homes worth, you know, $1 million or multiple millions of dollars. And so some of the insurers that protect these valuable homes do have private firefighting forces that specifically help protect those homes. And so they do a lot of preventive work. They go to the homes that they think could be threatened by a fire, and they might spray it down with foam or try to remove any sort of outdoor flammable furniture that could be dangerous, and then they might actually help defend that home if a fire does arrive.
No kidding. Do insurance companies expect things to get worse in the coming years?
So that's always a big question, and it's hard to know. This is definitely an anomalous year, and we've seen years like this in the past. If you remember in 2004 and 2005, there was a big string of hurricanes that all hit the U.S. around the same time. There was Katrina, and then Rita, and then Wilma, and so there is precedent for this kind of clustering of disasters, and of course we all hope it doesn't repeat itself again next year.
Right. Does this mean, or could it mean, that the cost of insurance will go up, I don't know, next year or the year after?
Well, definitely for commercial properties, so definitely businesses that buy insurance to cover their properties, especially in the areas that were affected in Texas or in Florida and the Caribbean, there is an expectation that those companies will be paying more. For personal insurance, you know, home insurance, car insurance, that's regulated by each state, and so for customers that are in the states that have been affected, they could definitely see their prices go up, but in other states, I wouldn't expect it to have much of an effect on prices.
Thanks, Nicole. It's Wall Street Journal reporter Nicole Friedman. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username at Gordon Deal. Happy to say that it is Friday Eve. Glad you could join us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, there are many things we'll remember 2017 for, but one of the most disturbing things may be the trend of folks using lawns and sidewalks as their own personal dumping ground. You'll remember the Mad Pooper story from Colorado earlier this year, and recently we told you about the Amazon delivery driver who delivered more than holiday presents to one homeowner. Now we have another Mad Pooper, this time in western New York. Orchard Park police confirmed they received a complaint recently from a woman who said she found human feces wrapped in tissue outside of her home, and this wasn't the first time. The perpetrator has got folks in the area so mad, they've taken out an ad in the local Penny Saver, which reads, "To the person jogger who is pooping on our lawns in the village of Orchard Park, stop." The ad informs the person that they are violating an ordinance against depositing untreated sewage on land or water and states that trail cameras have been set up to catch them in the midst of their business. Police said they have responded to calls of this nature before, but it's usually in the area of New Era Field during or after Buffalo Bills games.
Oh, come on, really?
That's what they said.
Wow.
I mean, I suppose if that sort of behavior is going to happen, that would be a prime spot there in western New York.
I suppose. If folks don't have time to wait in line at the facilities.
Yes.
At New Era Field.
You know.
Or in the porta potties in the parking lot.
We have talked about how hardy the tailgates are.
Yes.
In the parking lot there.
Well, I'll say this.
Field games.
If any of that untreated sewage were deposited on land on Sunday, it would be easy to spot.
That is true.
Given the amount of snow that made the landscape so white in Western New York.
You are right about that.
By the way, if you have to pick up after your dog this time of year.
Yes.
Once it hardens from the cold and sort of ices over, it is much easier.
So that's the one benefit of the cold weather this time of year?
Yes, exactly.
All right. That's good to know.
Just thought I'd throw that in, as long as we're on the subject of pooping.
Sure. Let's share all of our stories we got today. And let this be a lesson, Gordon, that no matter how big you get, you're always going to be your mom's son. Tennessee Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota found that out the hard way this week. According to USA Today, it started Sunday when Mariota was understandably upset after the Titans lost to the Cardinals. After a poor game for both him and the offense as a whole, Mariota was short with reporters and seemed to be annoyed by their questions. Mariota's mom happened to catch the post-game press conference and was not happy about it. No, she wasn't mad at reporters for asking her son tough questions after a rough game. She was mad at Mariota for being rude. So he apologized yesterday, which we're sure made mom very happy.
That's funny.
Now, I have to say, though, and obviously he was raised well. His version of kind of a cranky press conference is not the same as other people's.
Like Belichick, for example?
Yeah, like his was, or Cam Newton or somebody like that. His was pretty benign, you know. He just was a little short and kind of shrugged his shoulders a lot and didn't really have a lot of great answers. But he wasn't really super duper rude. But again, mom just picking up on every little thing. And again, you must have raised him right from the start.
That's funny.
Didn't let anything go.
Could you just envision the end of the news conference when he walks away and suddenly the phone of head coach Mike Mularkey rings?
Yes.
And he passes the phone to Marcus Mariota. He's like, your mom's on the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
You're in trouble now.
I'll give you a little repeat from practice for a couple minutes to talk to mom.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.com.
Give your employees the power to do their best work and maximize this year's budget when you update to new, powerfully performing Dell Business PCs with Intel Core processors. Dell's dedicated small business advisors mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution for your business. Get up to $300 off select business PCs and servers now till December 17th. Did I mention there's free shipping? Visit Dell.com/small business or call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Thursday. That creak in your knee probably doesn't get worse on rainy days, even if you notice it more when the skies turn gray. That's the conclusion of a study from Harvard Medical School. People have connected weather to health going back to ancient Greece, but the lead researcher here said that if joint or back pain were truly connected to bad weather, people visiting their doctors on rainy days would complain about aching knees or backs, even if their appointment was scheduled for another reason, but they didn't. So why does the association persist? One researcher says because it fits our intuition. We watch the rain pour down on houses, cars, and other objects. We call things weather-beaten after they've been outside for a while, so why shouldn't the rain take a toll on us? He also said it's easy to turn a single day of bad weather and joint pain into a solid belief because we'll see all subsequent experiences in a slanted manner, meaning it's extremely easy to see patterns even when none exist. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a Republican tax package swiftly taking shape would pull down the top tax rate for wealthy Americans to 37% and slash the tax rate for corporations to a level slightly above what businesses and conservatives wanted. The Republican goal is to deliver to President Trump the first major rewrite of the tax system in more than three decades.
If Congress sends me a bill before Christmas, the IRS, this is just out, this is breaking news, has just confirmed that Americans will see lower taxes and bigger paychecks beginning in February. just 2 short months from now.
GOP lawmakers hope to finalize blended legislation no later than tomorrow, vote next week, and deliver the package to the president before Christmas. Dan Johnson, a Republican state lawmaker in Kentucky who defiantly denied allegations that he sexually assaulted a teenage girl in the basement of his home, died in an apparent suicide last night. On Tuesday night, the 57-year-old held a news conference to deny he was under investigation.
It just seems like there's a lot of people that are willing to jump to judgment without any proof.
The county coroner said Johnson died of a single gunshot wound in Mount Washington, Kentucky. Donald Trump Jr. has wrapped up his third interview on Capitol Hill, this one lasting 9 hours as part of probes into Russian interference in the 2016 election. Trump Jr.'s closed-door meeting with Senate staff yesterday came a week after he spoke to lawmakers on the House Intelligence Committee. Well, they come from different political sides, but when it comes to personal issues, former Vice President Joe Biden and the daughter of Senator John McCain have common ground, brain cancer. Biden lost his son to the disease, and Meghan McCain is watching her dad fight it. When McCain was chatting yesterday with Biden on The View, she lost her composure.
Your son, Beau, had the same cancer that my father was diagnosed with 6 months ago. And I'm sorry.
But there's a lot of hope, babe.
I think about Beau almost every day. And I was told, sorry, that this doesn't get easier.
Biden rose from his seat on the set to take McCain's hand and told her if anyone could beat brain cancer, her dad could.
Wow. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. There's a custodian at a school in Ohio who's getting high praise for a side talent, Wilbert Knight, who works at Puglisi West Elementary School in Steubenville, brings joy to teachers and students with his singing.
It's been a long time coming, but I know the Lord.
Principal Lynette Gorman told ABC News that the 61-year-old Mr. Knight is an inspiration to everybody, saying the kids love him. The school is lucky to have him. Mr. Knight has been working in the school system for more than 22 years. Favorite part of the job? Seeing the kids smiling and happy. A second grade teacher posted a video of Mr. Knight singing happy birthday to a fellow coworker as part of their staff spotlight, in which they highlight an employee of the school's on the school's Facebook page. So the community gets to know everyone that works in the building. Well, the video went viral with more than 4,000 views, so the school continued to post more. Said his favorite artist to sing to is Luther Vandross, but on Sundays you can catch him singing gospel with his church choir. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.